Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. So excited about this episode. This is the wrap of the 2016 Phoenix Film Festival. And this has been a goal of ours since we started to have coverage of festivals in other states. We're fortunate now with technology, obviously, where we can get sent screeners and view them and review them. But this was unique for us because the Phoenix Film Festival, we want to thank the PR team and the festival staff that helped us put this together. Couldn't have done that without them, obviously. Was that we got to send a reporter. We have a friend, team member of ours in Phoenix. And it's really cool because I want to just break the small rule where I don't usually talk about myself. My mother was born in Phoenix, so obviously my grandparents met in Phoenix. So it's always been kind of a special place to me. When I'm there, I feel like I'm at home. When I'm there, I have that kind of spiritual connection. And now I have an uncle that lives there. And so I was staying in Phoenix with my uncle, and I thought, hey, the Phoenix Film Festival is coming up. And I was talking to a family friend member, and I said, hey, why don't we, there's a Phoenix Film Festival, maybe you could go to it. It was just a conversation over a bonfire. And I'm only explaining this because this is like the cool beauty of film, is you have these random chats. You don't know where something's going to go when you talk about it. And then it incarnates itself. And I'm not being all spiritual guru on you, but it's like, wow, this is now happening. And we're going to get to hear about some of the films that played. And then I'll give you guys an awards wrap. We already got the dates for the 2017 Phoenix Film Festival, which will be April 6th to the 13th, presented by Cox and Starz. Cox is the cable company, I'm pretty sure. Please forgive me if I screwed that up, because when I was out there and saw the cable boxes, it said that. April 6th to the 13th, 2017. It took place this year, April 7th to the 14th. And let's see, now we're going to get our guest reporter on the show, Mr. Terry Gates. Let's see. Hello, Terry, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Paul.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Thank you for what you did for our show.
Well, I really enjoyed it. It was my first film festival I ever did, and the people there was really helpful. They answered all my questions, and I've seen a lot of good movies there.
Well, that's excellent. Let's. I'll do an awards wrap after you discuss some of the stuff you saw. Tell us about what was going on in Phoenix.
Well, it was beautiful weather. You couldn't ask for any better. It's just really nice here now.
Excellent, excellent. And so the festival, tell us about some of the stuff you saw.
Well, I seen a movie called Jackie Boy that was an award winner. I think every girl that's going to go to college should see this movie to see what goes on at the parties, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex. I think it would really open a lot of eyes to the girls to watch it.
Well, that's interesting because that won, like you said, award-winning. I see here that it won World Cinema Best Director. And a lot of film festivals, that's always interesting because usually they do separate a best director from, like, what wins audience award or best feature, because it's usually just a take on what the director did. So what can you tell us? That's an interesting statement. What girls need to know before college? That's an interesting intro. Can you tell us a little bit about the movie?
It's about a guy that he's a womanizer, and he goes to parties just for sex and alcohol. He gets the girls drugged up and to get what he wants.
Ah. And so that's a really, I like that you said they should watch it before college, because I think that's probably something that's lacking. And on orientation day, they're just telling you about everything on the campus. They're not telling you about the trouble that you can get into off campus, right?
Yeah, it's it was very eye-opening to watch it, to see what actually happens at them and how the girls are used just for the guys' enjoyment.
Right, right. I mean, that's a plague of America right now, a plague of, I mean, I assume it's has, when I was in college, I mean, I never was as crazy as some of these films portray. And Jackie Boy, I mean, that I immediately wanted to see it when I was going through the list before you called in, because I saw anything that wins Best Director. I mean, you know, you and I talked about so many filmmakers when we spent that time together in November. So I was thinking, like, I want to watch anything that won Best Director. So it's interesting that you said Jackie Boy, because I was just looking at that like 5 minutes ago and thinking, you don't even, I'm not even going to have to hear about what this is about if Terry didn't see it or if it wasn't what he chose. And I want to see it just because it got Best Director. I'll watch anything that that is giving a new voice to something.
Right. Well,
what's another one that you were able to catch?
Another one I watched was a movie called Remittance.
Okay.
I can relate to the movie. It's about women that work abroad for different families in different countries, how low they're paid, how they're treated. I know a girl that does it, and I could really relate to the movie about how they are treated.
And was it documentary or feature?
It was a feature film. It was very well directed. It opened my eyes as to how people are treated working for other people that have money in different countries. And it was really ridiculous. And then plus the hardship that the women go through, that away from their families, trying to support their families, and what their spouses do while they're gone, because they have to sign a contract for 2 years. And so they're away from their families for 2 years, and they can just talk to them on the phone is all they can do.
Oh, okay. So what I'm noticing here is that it says the, you know, not to give too much away, but just the synopsis says that the woman takes a job in Singapore. So was this a subtitled film, or was this in English?
It was in English. I liked it. I think of the 25 movies I've seen, I liked it the best.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, I'm going to, you know, sometimes we're able to have some flexibility with festivals, and we're able to get a chance to follow where a film goes. And sometimes it's happened in the past where a festival that plays Phoenix is then going to play Chicago or Seattle, and you see them kind of further down the line, the way I'll talk about No Greater Love after we talk with you. But, you know, like I had seen that in San Diego last year. So to hear that that was out in Phoenix was a great thing to know that that film was doing well. So that was a really cool, I just love to see filmmakers work continuing on. So what's next on your list, Terry?
It's called Freedom or Death. It was a documentary about the war going on in the Ukraine. The director I talked to him after the watching it, and he shot 70% of the actual footage of the war against the Russians.
Wow.
It was pretty eye-opening, too, of how the people there were treated and how the Russians brought in people from outside so that they couldn't prove that it was Russians. They was criminals that they brought in to attack the people and burn where they was protesting at.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, this just shows up here has the World Cinema Audience Award. I'm liking this because I think a fun thing to do, and I think you and I had a lot of conversations about this, is to see a film and then you kind of have a gut feeling about if it's going to do well. I'm going to see that at another festival, or it's going to win an award, or you kind of just know you're in a good film. And so to win the World Cinema Audience Award, audience awards are very tricky at film festivals. Sometimes they're purely dictated by the, you know, like if there was a movie about Phoenix, it would probably win the audience award. Or, you know, you show a surf movie in Southern California, you're obviously going to get the audience award. I'm really liking that there's a social consciousness to give that, that audiences were flocking to a story like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there to watch that movie. It opens your eyes as to what is going on in the world.
Right. Now, did it seem like just because I don't know how anyone else does it other than how I select films, what was kind of your process of how you chose what you wanted to see? Did you kind of read over every synopsis, or did you kind of just sometimes you hear a title and you kind of want to go in unknown? What was your...
I went through the book and read about everyone that I seen, and they seemed like they was going to be very interesting. So that's how I picked them. If something, you know, reading it caught my eye, that's the ones that I picked out.
Okay, yeah.
And I seen all different kinds of movies there, horrors, comedies, love stories. They have a big variety. And I like that you're not just seeing one kind of movie. You're seeing all kinds of them. And I think I've seen four of them that won awards there.
Oh, yeah. No, I've noticed you've been picking the winners here. And I'm we're lucky that our show that you're now a part of, welcome to the team. We've been very fortunate to usually 85 or 90% of the time stuff we cover ends up on Netflix or, winning some other film festival that it plays or getting a DVD deal or a video on demand deal. So, we seem to just have we're blessed to have a knack. And, I knew, you know, one of the things for our audience to know is that Terry is a avid movie watcher, and for you real film buffs out there, you know there's never enough films. You'll never see everything you want to see. You'll never remotely get close to what you want to see. Doesn't matter if you live to be 90, you'll still be saying there were two comedies you never found. So, excuse me, I knew that you would find a eclectic choice of films. Is there We have the time. You want to go into another one? I mean, let's talk about the film.
Well, yeah, I watched another movie called Dating Daisy that was about a guy and a girl that was living together, and they split up, and it's Thanksgiving weekend, and her car breaks down, so he picks her up and drops her off at his her mom's house. He goes to his folks' house, and they both are texting back and forth, and they fell back in love again. And
that's interesting.
It was a different concept of movies. I didn't like the ending, but I'm not going to say about it because some people will like it and some people won't. I didn't like it because it leaves you hanging.
Oh, right. There is that interesting split of people that are film watchers that need a kind of a tie-off, even if the tie-off isn't to their liking, versus those films that kind of leave you where your only discussion of an ending is talking about it in the lobby or asking the filmmaker or your interpretation. When you were just telling me that synopsis, I thought there's not one girl that I've been with in my life that would get back together with me after a Thanksgiving dinner. So that sounded really interesting. I'm like, huh, kind of just flipping through the index in my brain. And I went, huh, I don't, you know, I guess I'd have dinner with her and then see if it worked out again, but not on my calendar.
Well, no, they asked the director at the end of the movie why he ended it like he did. And he said that if he would have went ahead and followed through with the ending, it would have took another hour for it to end. So he just said like that.
That makes sense. Yeah, sometimes if you open up opening up a can of worms. I think a good example, just briefly to veer off course for a sec, is like American Sniper. I mean, the ending just had to be that Bradley Cooper hugged his wife and got in the car. They couldn't have had him get to where, you know, Chris Kyle went through what he went, and they couldn't show the vet doing what he did. So it was kind of like, you had to just go to the subtitles and the real footage. And I thought, of course, because that's Clint Eastwood, that was a brilliant choice. We didn't need to see four more scenes and the killing. And now, can you just tell us, since we always like to give a shout out to the venues. I, of course, don't know what a Harkins is that a theater chain or what is that?
Yes, it's a theater chain here in Phoenix. The one I went to had, I believe, 14 theaters in it.
Wow. Are they stadium seating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And nice reclining rocking seats. So it was very comfortable to watch it, to watch the movies in their theaters.
Yeah, and Scottsdale, of course, since I'm only have only been in downtown and then off into some of the side areas. Where exactly is Scottsdale in relation to Phoenix?
Well, it's a suburb. I live in West Phoenix, and Scottsdale was 21 miles away.
Oh, okay.
So, and
oh, wow, thanks for doing it for us. I didn't know it was that far away.
Yeah, it was 21 miles away, but it was worth the drive to go there to see the festival and meet the people and directors and some actors. I went to one party. I didn't want to drink because I had so far to drive. So I talked to him in there for a little bit and then went and watched another movie.
Hey, well, that's a smart man, because I'll tell you, the one thing that is so tough about film festivals is usually some of the key sponsors are a vodka or a beer that tends to be a beer that people don't usually want to spend $25 a week on their a day on their beer habit. So when you get to go to these film festivals, you have these alcohols that are just, you know, for usually out of the price range of what people want to spend. So
yes,
they're free and they just keep giving it to you unless you're like falling over. So one of the festivals I'm covering this week has my favorite beer in the world. And it's always so hard because I have a medical condition where I can't drink. So it's like, I always know at film festivals, I have to go in there being like, I hope they don't have this beer. I hope they don't have this beer. Cause it's always just like such a fun part of the scene. But so with this festival, and you know, we're here to provide rap and coverage for the festival, but this sounds like something that you would recommend or tell your fellow friends in Phoenix or attend again if you had the opportunity.
Oh yes, I would love to do as many film festivals as I could, just because I'm an avid movie watcher.
Yes, I, you know, when you said 21 miles, I thought, you know what, that's like a block to Terry to watch a movie.
Yeah,
right. So he'd drive to China if there was no ocean to see a film festival, and I'd be right there
right
with him.
Yeah,
but that's really cool that you got to see some of these films, and then I mean that you picked award winners. And was there I'm not seeing it on the website because I just mainly kind of want to go with what you experienced. Was there any form of like some film festivals have panels or like workshops, or they'll have like a somebody talking about acting or somebody talking about how to make a film? Was there anything like that there?
Yes, they had three or four of the different workshops. I forget exactly what there was for making movies and producing movies and different stuff like that from Arizona State University.
Oh, they were held at Arizona State University.
No, people from Arizona State, students, was giving the workshops on how to do that.
Oh, interesting. That's cool to see that it's affiliated with, for those of you that don't know, Arizona State in Tempe, correct? Okay, and for those of you film buffs out there, it is forever famous because of the movie Jerry Maguire. Of course, the last football scene is shot in Sun Devil Stadium, where Cuba Gooding Jr. Gets his break and Tom Cruise redeems himself as Jerry Maguire. So that's what I always think of when I think of Tempe and Sun Devil Stadium, because I saw Jerry Maguire on my 18th birthday. So that was my first view into connecting Phoenix and film. So with that, I will go through and just mention the award winners. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we roll this up and get it sent off to Phoenix for their deal?
Well, I was real happy that you got me the press pass to go and watch these movies and have a chance to talk about some of the movies that I really like. So I really appreciate you doing that for me.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. You're part of the team now. And I said before you came on the show that this was a really going to be a great thing for us and other festivals, because we're wanting to have reporters in other states. So you've christened this with Phoenix, and we'll let our audience know about other stuff so we don't put information on the Phoenix Film Festival wrap. But no problem, Terry, and I'm glad you got to have a good time, and we appreciate what you got, what you brought to the table for us, and I definitely look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, Paul.
I'll give you a call. You take care, my friend.
All right, you too. Bye.
So thankful. Terry's a great guy. We you know, had over Thanksgiving, had like this big film festival together and just watched tons of movies. And he's just got DVDs coming out of every room. And so I'm going to just list the award winners. And I'm going to purposely, I want you to go to PhoenixFilmFestival.com. So I don't want you to hear this and say, why is he not reading a synopsis? Because we can all just regurgitate synopses, whatever you call them. I know what you call them, but I'm just going off the cuff here. And I'm going to read you the award winners. I want you to write them down because they might play your town. Support them, support these indie films. And it sounds like there were some gutsy filmmakers. We want to thank the gutsy programmers to program films like this. You have to have some integrity. And you have to be willing to put yourself in the situation too and stand by your choices as a festival. So we want to thank the Phoenix Film Festival for these great films that they brought to people. Best Documentary, Rwanda and Juliet. Best Director, Operator. Since the Bombing of Pan Am Flight 103, it just says award winner. Welcome to Happiness, Best Ensemble. A Light Beneath Their Feet, it just says award winner. We talked about World Cinema Best Director, Jackie Boy. Audience Award, No Greater Love. I can just jump in real quick on this one. I saw this at the San Diego Film Festival. It was about a army chaplain who goes through one of the toughest, hellish valleys in Afghanistan following the troops. Now, it's not spoiling anything to say that most documentaries are the soldiers go to war and they come home messed up. It's a great tragic plague that we have in this country right now, but I'm not going to get on my political soapbox about it. It's a human issue. It doesn't matter where you stand. Our veterans need better treatment. So I was so happy when I saw this was playing Phoenix because I met the chaplain briefly at San Diego Film Festival. It is a tough film to watch, but it has to be seen. Veterans, feel free to take a pass. There's live footage shot in the moment of war. It is not a sound effect. It is not an actor. It is not Kevin Costner. So if you're PTSD, take care of that first. But please, movie lovers, citizens, watch these films to respect these men and women that are out there right now just providing the kind of freedom that we can be doing this show right now. So with that, special jury prize for acting, Beyond Glory. We talked about the World Cinema Audience Award, Freedom or Death. Best World Cinema Feature, Home Care. And the best picture was Coming Through the Rye. So that's going to about do it for the Phoenix Film Festival. And we hope you can get out to the Phoenix Film Festival or tell your friends, family, anyone you out there, any film lovers. And as always, I got to end the show by saying, have a great day, great evening, whenever you're listening to this. But whatever you do, make sure and watch a good movie tonight. Aloha.